Hi, Martin here from Kaput X Radio. Please join me on this mad radio journey through Bankland.
Round and compound, no end. Quick as a flash, into my stash. Grab my gear, fill my pockets with cash. Gather my thoughts and gather my possessions. And decide I'm heading out. All night session, there's a spring in my step. Heading for the door, I think I know where I'm going, but I'm not quite sure. Out on the street, my direction is guided. And it seemed that a voice in my head had decided where I would go, who I would meet. Glide down the street, I'm light on my feet. I get a feeling of deja vu, and I realize that I could be through from the outside. Place looked like a dump, but I went in anyway, cause I could feel the bass thump. I'm free, and I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free, and I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free, and I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free, and I want to.
Although the issue of finance troubles and ailing economies seem less sensational than Syria, Iran, the GOP race in the US, or other pressing environmental issues, finance, the flawed system we have, is at the center of all these failings. In a mad race producing, for instance, political statements by people like Rick Santorum, such as something like, "No abortion left behind when I'm in the White House." At the heart of this are banks and the people behind not comprehending their predicament of thinking inside the box. They need to ask a simple question, such as, why money created as debt? No, they ask, what box? The following collage presents the contents of Inside the Box and the futility of trying to escape circular arguments and debates without any solution inside. For me, this is very disappointing, and not to crack up over it, I try to entertain us all.
I'm free. And I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free. And I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free. And I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free. And I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free. And I want to get down, but all I seem to do is lay my money down. I'm free. And I want to.
That is the banks and the pension funds and the insurance companies that have bought Greek debt, accepting a haircut on their Greek debt.
Again, defied the Reserve, today lifting its fixed rates.
ANZ took to Twitter late this afternoon.
I step back and I let go. Fuck, I think it's funny how quickly the money goes. That's the reason that I wrote this, bro, because I've been living my life with nothing to show.
And says that in the decision, it's walking between the tightrope, it says it's walking between costs and customers, that has decided to increase its one of its most popular products, its three-year fixed breakaway mortgage. Now, breakaway seems entirely fitting given it's ANZ that's broken away from the normal rate-setting cycle as determined by the RBA.
Again, raising some of its home loan interest rates.
It's definitely good news that holders of 85% and perhaps 90% of Greece's private debt have agreed to swap it for other bits of paper worth 70% less in the biggest debt restructure in history. All good. And markets in Europe and the US responded accordingly, because it means there won't be a run on Spain, Portugal and Italy this week.
I think the bankers better be careful when they attribute bonuses.
I'm sorry?
I think the bankers better be careful when they attribute bonuses comes January.
Is that a threat?
It's not a threat. It's just a call for a sense of public interest, which I know some banks share. And, you know, there are rules that have been put in place and they need to be respected.
And if they don't?
Well, when you don't respect the law, what do you expect?
The world is unified.
There won't be a run on this week.
This in a week when the HSBC boss forfeited 1.3 million as a gesture of remorse, but then quite happily accepted a further 6 million. There seems only so much remorse a banker can in fact have. The Treasury is getting tough, though. It's told Barclays Bank this week to pay £500 million it's avoided in tax. There seems to be a fine line between tax evasion and tax avoidance and tax efficiency. Next time you're accused of not clearing up after a meal, follow the banks and say, no, I was merely being washing up efficient. It is part of a kitchen solution for managing leftover expectations. The thing is, we didn't like bankers even before the financial crisis, because most people do not have positive experiences with their banks. For example, this week I was trying to pay a tax bill by debit card online, and there was a problem, and I was instructed to phone the bank. So this lady then tells me that it would not be possible to pay my tax bill by debit card because it is over my limit. I point out it's a debit card, so my limit is the amount I have in my account. And she says, right. And I say, you can see I have that amount in my account. And she tells me, Mr. Parsons, there are limits in place for debit cards to prevent fraud. I point out that she knows it isn't fraud because we've just spent 5 minutes verifying that I am, in fact, me. And she has just called me Mr. Parsons. Also, in the history of crime, has there ever been a thief who was famous for defrauding somebody by paying their tax bill for them? She said she was sorry, but that I would have to pay in instalments. So I said, oh, so you're happy to be defrauded, but just over a period of days. So she went back to parroting, there are limits in place to prevent fraud. I said, but this isn't fraud. You know it's me. Not only have I got right all the questions in front of you, I can get right questions you haven't even thought of. Not only can I do my mother's maiden name, I can do my grandmother's maiden name and all my cousins as well. And she said, I should warn you, all our phone calls are recorded for training purposes. And I said, well, I don't think they'll be using this one, because if they do, they'll learn sod all. Now, this was too much for her. She said, I'll get my supervisor to call you back. So later that day, I got a call back. I said, hello. And this bloke says, hello. Now, I'm just going to have to ask you some security details to check who you are. And I said, but you phoned me up. I should be the one asking you some security details. Surely you already have quite a strong security detail about me, in that you phoned my home number and I was expecting your call. Who do you think I am? A burglar who's just waiting in the house on the half chance a bank might phone up and give some security details for free? Because, of course, all burglars would answer the phone. You've broken into a house, the phone rings. Oh, you're not going to let it go to answer phone whilst you stuff jewellery into your pocket. No, you'll pick it up and start trying to impersonate the homeowner, regardless of the fact you haven't got a clue who the homeowner is or who might be on the end of the phone. He said, I'm sorry. Is there anything else I can help you with? I said, given your past form, that seems unlikely. But please keep talking. I have a feeling I may be able to get a routine out of this. He said, I recognise your voice. Are you that comedian bloke? I said, I'm sorry, I can't confirm that at this stage. You're going to have to answer a couple of initial questions first. But of course, you don't have to use the banks now. You could get a short-term loan from somewhere like Wonga.com, where the interest is currently 4,214%. They've got some balls, haven't they? Places like Wonga.com only exist because the banks won't lend. What is the point of being a bank if you won't lend? Oh, I'm a prostitute. Do you shag? No, I just sell breakdown cover and pet insurance. People say, go easy on the bankers. They are examples of great British business. But it's amazing what people hold up as great examples of British business. I mean, whenever they come up with Britain's three best-known businessmen, they usually trot out Alan Sugar, Richard Branson, and Philip Green. Now, Amstrad was disappointing. Virgin Trains are disappointing. Top Man is disappointing. If you followed our three best businessmen, there's a fair chance you'd be using a computer that didn't work on a train standing still, looking like a prize arse.
Simply transfer your non-ANZ credit card balance to a new ANZ credit card. You could save on credit card interest. We'll even take care of the transfer for you.
Our new online home loan guide tells you whether or not you're ready.
Preparing for your home loan.
We can pre-qualify right here.
This is what we can afford.
We can do this.
We can?
Looks good.
Learn what you need to become a successful homeowner. Bank of America/MyHome.
It's a debit card that turns invisible.
It's gone?
Yeah. It's virtually theft proof.
That's fantastic.
We're always looking for new ways to fraud.
Chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang.
You could save over $1,000 in interest. That's right, over $1,000. Citibank is the largest issuer of credit cards globally.
Now, you can get a low 1.99% per annum for 12 months on balances you transfer from credit cards or personal loans to a Citi Gold or Silver credit card. 1.99% per annum. That's an amazing offer. Look at this table. You can save over $1,000. Money that's better off in your pocket. So switch now to a Citi Gold or Silver credit card.
Go to Citibank. Go to Citibank. Only at Citibank.
Come on, if you're determined to make a real difference, start something with Commonwealth Bank.
ANZ have got this online credit card finder. You get the idea.
I will not date supermodels.
A short time ago, the government said 85% of investors had accepted, while under law, others who declined would be forced to participate. The deal clears a key hurdle for the new €130 billion bailout package.
This Greek drama moves from one D-Day to another. This was yet another. That task specifically was to convince private holders of Greek debt to swallow losses of around 75%, erasing more than €100 billion, or around a third of Greece's public debt, and unlocking the agreed second bailout from the IMF and European Union worth €130 billion.
It is absolutely critical that this PSI deal goes ahead. And the new bailout program is signed on time so as to avoid an outright default.
Athens had demanded at least 75% acceptances for the deal to proceed. And heading to the final deadline, officials spoke of a much higher take-up. Markets rallied in anticipation, having stumbled earlier this week on fears of failure. It's reported that the global body representing bondholders wrote to European leaders, warning that a disorderly default could lead to €1 trillion in losses for banks, firms and governments. If that was a scare tactic, the write-down is the biggest ever attempted, dwarfing Argentina's 2002 effort, equivalent to €73 billion today. But analysts aren't counting their chickens, even with €130 billion set to flow.
That'll put Greece on a footing where it'd be able to manage its economy for the next couple of years. If it does create a scenario where some economic growth is created, Greece may become solvent eventually. I think that's highly unlikely, and Greece will be defaulting again in 2014 or 15.
It will be helpful for some days, for some weeks maybe, but will not be a sustainable solution for the Greeks. They have to go out of the Eurozone.
That's not the official view. Watching the count, IMF chief Christine Lagarde said the risk of crisis in the Eurozone had been removed for now.
Hi, everybody. My name is Merle Hazard. My band and I have taken a break from our tour of federal minimum security prisons to sing you our new song about the Greek debt crisis. Sure hope you like it.
Oh yes, the Greeks gave us Pythagoras and Euclid and Plato and other wondrous stuff. Balance in their national budget, their budget apparently is tough. They use derivatives from Goldman, expenses to postpone. And had to go to France and Germany to get a bailout loan. They borrowed short at a low like the Wall Street brokers we have grown to hate. And when the markets get into a funk, they won't buy your paper if it's rated junk. Budget problems of the Greeks are a European pain. I hope it doesn't spread to Portugal, 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 Italy, or Spain. The ECB and IMF, IMF, IMF have applied their expertise to keep the European Union from crumbling, just like feta cheese. But sure, a little bazooki. If it's rated junk. Some say that Greece may drop the euro, the euro, the euro, so their products can compete. And if it still is not enough, not enough, not enough, maybe they can sell off Crete. And if it still is not enough, not enough, not enough, maybe they can sell off Crete.
Thanks for your time tonight.
Well, good evening. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Can you explain what's happening to the Greek economy at the moment?
Well, I can answer questions relating to that issue, yes.
Because the Greek Parliament met this week, didn't
it? Yes, it did, yeah. And they passed some austerity measures, Brian, and much to the relief of global financial markets.
And how's this going to play out?
Well, I don't think it's any secret that they've got long-term economic problems in Greece, deeply set macro problems.
Mm, they're likely to default, aren't they?
Well, I don't think they're going to default today, Brian, and I can explain why I think
maybe
they're not.
Maybe not today, but not, you know, maybe in the future.
Well,
let's deal
with today, Brian. We've got the data for
today. Well, is today important?
Well, every day is important, Brian. This is a major crisis.
I mean, is today more important in a general
sense? Well, let's get today sorted out, Brian. This is my point, and then we can extrapolate beyond that and perhaps come to a broader understanding.
Okay, so what can we extrapolate from today?
Well, I don't think the Greek economy is going to default today.
Okay, can we go beyond today?
Well, today is quite long.
Yes, I understand that.
Can I make a technical point?
Sure.
Today includes tonight.
But how far ahead can you go from here? You're in long-range forecasting.
Long-range forecasting is what we do, yes,
which
indeed.
Is why we asked you in.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is what we do, of course.
So how long can you project using the data you've gathered?
Well, I don't think the Greek economy is going to default today.
Today?
Today. I don't think it's going to default
today. Do you know
what's
going to happen next week is
next
my question.
Week. Well, yeah. I think, Brian, the hope next week is that the austerity measures kick in and are successful.
Because confidence is really important,
confidence
isn't it?
Is of the utmost importance, as you quite correctly point out, yes.
Because economics is based on sound fundamentals, isn't
Very
it?
Very sound fundamentals underpin economics, yes.
Sure. Obvious. What are they?
Well, confidence, astrology. Rumours.
What is everyone so concerned about with Greece?
Well, the big thing about Greece, of course, is Italy.
Why Italy?
Well, Italy's much bigger, Brian. Italy's
but it's completely
huge.
Different.
Oh, totally different, yes, by all means, yeah.
But how is it
bigger,
different?
Brian's bigger. It's got a sort of a boot down the bottom.
You understand.
It's a hell of a sight.
What are they worried about?
If it goes over, Brian.
Gone.
Worried about hair loss? The first handheld medical laser that gives you guaranteed hair regrowth from the privacy of your home.
I noticed less hair on the pillow.
I got all my hair back.
We guarantee it all your money back for guaranteed hair growth today.
So, staying with the metaphor of haircuts, hair loss and so forth, one question comes to mind. What happens with all that hair lying on the floor of the hair studio after that haircut? Well, Graham, my friend, suggested they may weave it into wigs. Then bald Greeks can wear them for a while, pretending to have grown some hair. And it may even be cut again in a couple of years. But what happens then? Well, we have probably 2 years' time to answer that question, but remaining in Europe, we all recognize we are all poor now, courtesy of Bird and Fortune.
I'll say, I mean, that was a wonderful meal.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Delicious.
I mean,
absolutely.
In the potatoes just alone must have taken absolutely ages.
No, not at all. Do you know, the whole thing took me 10 minutes.
Mm. 10 minutes?
It's the New Delia method. Everything came in a tin.
What, even the roast suckling pig?
Yes, yes, even that, Jill. Everything came in a tin.
Mind you, if you know, the economic crash gets worse, then this is how we're all going to be living. We're all going to be eating out of tins.
If things carry on like they're going, you know, we all could be very poor.
We could.
What do you mean, what things?
Well, you know that half-timbered house down the hill, the Hallidays that lived there, well, they were trying to sell their house. and the agent said the house was worth 10% less than it was last month.
That means that our house is worth 10% less.
Probably.
Oh, my God!
Yes.
What?
Well, then that means I am poor.
Well, don't exaggerate. We're not that badly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what a shock. You see, I've always thought, what would it be like to be poor? And now I think I know. Oh, my God.
You could sell your house in Normandy.
Is that what poor people do? Mm. They sell their second homes.
Yes. But, I mean, the trouble is that by then it could be that we're all so poor that no one will be able to afford your house.
Well, God. We'll sell it to the French.
No, Matthew, what are you talking about? We have put our hearts and souls into that place.
Yeah.
La clé de vivre. Yeah. I'm not going to give it to some French person.
No. Anyway, they feel pretty out of place there now because everybody else in the village is English.
Exactly. Exactly. Now to talk to you.
Yes.
I just don't understand why this has happened so suddenly.
No.
You know, why?
Why to us? Why to us? We haven't done anything wrong.
No, we haven't. Because for the last 10 years, we've been going out and spending money
like
we were supposed to do.
Hand over fist.
To keep the economy
absolutely. Yeah. We've been doing that.
Yeah.
But you see, it's the bloody banks.
Yeah.
And
their
greed. And the government, I'm sorry to say this, but they're completely pathetic.
Pathetic.
They're only going to guarantee, what is it, the first 35,000 pounds of deposits in the bank. Well, what's that to a man like me? It's a drop
it's
in the ocean.
It's not
trust banks anyway. I mean, used to be in the old days, you could trust a bank because you had a bank manager,
so
there was a personal relationship. You could go in there and go, and you could tell by his demeanour, how things were.
Yes,
if he was looking pale, then you'd be a bit worried.
Yes.
If he was standing on the window ledge outside his office, you'd be even more worried.
Yes. Wonder sometimes, you know, I mean, I think we must look at ourselves first of all, and I wonder, is there such a thing as having too much money?
No.
I'm minded of that beautiful Irish poem, I will arise and go now and go to Innisfree. It's Bono, I think. And a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made.
What's a wattle?
9 bean rows will I have.
9?
Nine?
Nine, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all there, yeah. And peace shall I find there, And I suppose my point is, and indeed Bono's point is, that we can survive with very little. And I look at my own situation and I think, you know, I would be happy if I now had no more.
Really?
Yes. Well, now, provided I could keep my house and everything in order, my things, everything that I have now.
And your cleaner, yes.
But that is enough.
Yes, but that would be enough, I understand.
Yeah. I knew a man who actually was suddenly in poverty. I mean, overnight, virtually, he lost everything.
Yes.
And it was very interesting because he accepted it. He just constantly had a very vivid sort of inner life, and he concentrated on that, and he was a very, very wise man in very many ways, and I'd like to have spent more time with him. But he smelled rather a lot.
But, you know, what I feel is that when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Yes.
And I'm going to be doing what, in the city, we call bottom trading.
Darling, I don't like the sound
fishing.
Of that.
No, it's about, it's when the shares hit the rock bottom, you see, on the bottom, then you get them.
You go back to the Great Depression, 1929, the only people who did well out of that, as it were, Hitler and Mussolini.
Yes. Mm. Well, those were redeeming features, I suppose.
Mm. That they did well.
But, I mean, where are we going to find our Mussolini?
Yes.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Where will we find a strong personality? Yes. Who is the man we need?
Who is the man?
Yeah. Maybe he's playing left back for AC Milan.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Mussolini playing for them?
Oh, I think so.
Organic rhythm, give subliminal precision on a groove-driven mission. We're moving with volition, continually drifting, but holding best position. Keep looking straight ahead, man, an imminent collision. Unconditional visions of a life unlimited. Been living it, looked into it, considered it, and I admit underlying elements existing, it's a given. They're the root of divisions and our brothers driven out of their mind, trying to find rhyme or reason, believing this to receive that. I'm disbelieving, it's a little surreal, losing appeal, I'm going crazy. Need of some healing, everything is getting hazy. And amazingly still, things are getting stranger, behaving in a way, creating myself danger. I live in a world of confusion, not of anger. I think I'm strange, but you probably think I'm stranger. But you probably think I'm stranger. Insidious divisions have created my condition, and it's something I just can't figure out. But I've got to get out, I've got to get out, I've got to get out. These twisted inner visions have been clouding my decisions, and it's something I just can't figure out. But I've got to get out, I've got to get out, I've got to get out. Try to keep it positive, cause that's the way I wanna live. I've taken all I can take, so now I'm gonna give too many. Living their lives obliviously, always pushing forward to nowhere furiously. Me, I can't take life too seriously. Sit back and live my life deliriously. Close my eyes, look inside, I'm gonna break free. Earthquakes eat, but this world hasn't shaken me, not breaking me. Don't know where it's taken me. Harnessing energy gives a taste of harmony. You probably think I'm strange.
Bunch of D-bag bankers, look. Shouldn't you be in a cage somewhere working on a pitch book?
Work at it, work
it! Some consultants, ouch. Probably got one suit and they bought it from Men's Warehouse.
Bankers and consultants, it's time to squash that beef. Gonna settle this now. Right here on the street.
SDK's right on! SDK's the kizzy!
Weird.
You bankers don't have a clue. Better take some courses. I'm on some Jedi mind shit, using all five forces. Work hard, play hard. Even your mom thinks you're a tool. Be a burnout banker, teaching math in my prep school. I make sick decks, I use the 3 C's. Chicks, cash, crystal. That's my only strategy. You're playing with Excel, doing nothing but grunt work. I'm analyzing both quantitative and qualitative research. You slave away, another piece of the machine. I make a really significant impact and get home by 7:15. I work half the time you do. I know you must hate this. Hold up, I'm about to put you in a 2x2 matrix. I'm the star homie, your ass is a cog. You're in the lower right quadrant, but you still ain't my dog. And I know something about you. You went to all women, that's a public school.
Oh, shit, the consultant treat.
P2G, Pajami, Gordon Gekko. Gordon Gekko. This dude's about this to go down like Bears Dark.
Button collar?
What?
Kenneth Cole shit, son, your BlackBerry's like 4 years old. While you're mining for gold out in Saskatchewan, I'm going for bronze at the tanning salon. You try to add value,
I straight create it. You get one shitty idea, then take 6 months just to make it. Still get paid in a recession. Homie, you know this. Where's the Dow at? Still bigger than your bonus. I got a house in the Hamptons and a penthouse loft. But you got intangibles. Is that where your skills are so soft? Over at One Oak, the bouncer looks at you sideways. Get back to your roots. There's no line at TGI Fridays. Hypothetical scenario. You get into the joint, but you still can't buy bottles with Starwood points. Free on nights and weekends with no discernible skill. Not sure if you're a consultant or myself or Bill. I might work 100-hour weeks, barely sleep. Do some blow off my desk while I'm 8 Red Bulls deep. Compared to what you do, my job's a challenge. Unlike my bankroll, bro, keep your fucking work-life balance. This is Wall Street, bitch, you don't belong here. I'm your greatest fear, the shit that you wish you could be, but it's 2 weeks to get in here. Is it starting to make sense? Is it starting to come clear? Here, here. Take this mouse and get back to making 60K a year.
Sing it with me now. Damn, it feels good to be a banker. Oh, oh, damn, it feels good to be a banker.
Not so. In today's world, real power lies in the hands of an elite group of unassuming men in anonymous open plan offices. The men who control the world's bond market. Bill Gross is the boss of PIMCO, the world's biggest bond trading operation, which manages a portfolio of bonds worth $700 billion. Gross is widely regarded as the king of the bond market. Just call him Mr. Bond.
Bonds are the magical link between the world of high finance and the world of political power. Governments will always spend more than they raise in taxation, sometimes shed loads more, and they make up the difference by selling bonds that pay interest. But, and here's the magic, if you want to get rid of a bond, the government doesn't have to give you the cash back. You just take it to a bond market, like the one here, Tokyo Stock Exchange, and sell it.
After the rise of banks, the birth of the bond market was the next big revolution in the history of finance. It created a whole new way for governments to borrow money. The bond market funded the wars that plagued northern Italy 600 years ago. It dictated the outcome of the Battle of Waterloo and created the world's greatest financial dynasty. It ensured the defeat of the South in the American Civil War. And in modern times, the bond market has brought once wealthy nations like Argentina crashing to their knees. Today, governments and companies use bonds to borrow on an unimaginably vast scale. All told, there are bonds out there worth around $85 trillion. The fortunes of most of us, whether we like it or not, are directly linked to the bond market. If the bond market tanks, then down goes the value of our pensions. And that's a huge part of our wealth as individuals. In the financial crisis that has gripped the world since the summer of 2007, US government bonds have been seen as a safe haven for investors seeking shelter from the storm of falling property and share prices. So if Bill Gross were to lose faith in those bonds, it would hit the financial world like, well, a thunderbolt. That's why this Mr. Bond has become so much more powerful than the Mr. Bond created by Ian Fleming. And that's why both kinds of bond have a license to kill.
It's a full rejection coming down. One more objection, dollars and pounds. Take these empty numbers, add them and roll. Stack them high if that's your ultimate goal. Green and Annie's telling me what to do. I'm not listening to you. One more time and I'm through. I don't even need to even the spread. I don't care if you're dead. There's no more room in my head. Don't really want to play the rules of your game. Your silly spreadsheet is completely insane. This one and one thing doesn't add up to two. I don't know what to do. You'll be pitching all these beans too.
It's the Onion Radio News. The World Bank forecloses on the World Farm. This is Doyle Redland reporting.
After years of sending threatening notices, the World Bank has issued letters of foreclosure on the World Farm, a 64,000-square-mile plot of arable land in Dodoma, Tanzania. World farmer Mwana Mazuka, who provides wheat, cattle, and goats to much of the Eastern Hemisphere, responded to reporters as he angrily waved a pitchfork.
This farm has been in my family since Zanzibar was owned by British. I'll be damned if I would let some World City creditors get their grubby hands on it.
In spite of Mazuka's protests, World Bank representatives say the World Farm auction will take place on March 22nd, and everything, including 672 million chickens, must go.
Indeed, the story of Enron was like a rerun of the Mississippi Bubble, 280 years before. John Law's plan had been to revolutionize French government finance. Ken Lay, the chairman of Enron, planned to revolutionize the global energy business. Lay's big idea was to create a kind of energy bank, which would act as the intermediary between suppliers and consumers. His dream was to make Enron the greatest energy company in the world. Like John Law, Ken Lay had friends in high places. He contributed generously to George H.W. Bush's presidential campaign. As president, Bush duly pushed through legislation that deregulated the energy industry.
And thanks to the intervention of Ken Lay's personal friend, George W. Bush, Enron was able to acquire a controlling stake in the largest natural gas pipeline network in the world.
Enron led a Wall Street surge unnervingly reminiscent of the Mississippi Bubble. Despite his half-hearted warnings against irrational exuberance, this bull market was propelled upward by the chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan. As in John Law's time, a stock market bubble could only happen if money was abundant. And by raising interest rates only once between February 1995 and June 1990, Greenspan made sure that it was. And Lay, the pillar of society, espoused the highest moral standards for his company.
Enron is a company that deals with everyone with absolute integrity. We play by all of the rules. We stand by our word. We mean what we say. We say what we mean.
The only problem was that, like John Law's system, the Enron system was an elaborate fraud. But its key financial innovation was to remove its debts from the balance sheet and hide them in so-called special purpose entities. Dubious names like Chuco and Raptor. Each quarter, the company's executives had to use more smoke and more mirrors to make actual losses look like bumper profits. It couldn't last.
When you cook the books and then you try to hide it, you're toast.
When they sensed the game would soon be up, Lay and his cronies started to unload hundreds of millions of dollars worth of shares, while at the same time reassuring the public that the share price would continue to soar. Like John Law's desperate attempts to stem the free fall of Mississippi Company shares, all Ken Lay's reassurances were in vain. On November 15th, 2001, Alan Greenspan, head of the U.S. Federal Reserve, received the Enron Prize for Distinguished Public Service, adding his name to a roll of honor that included Mikhail Gorbachev and Nelson Mandela. Greenspan deserved it, because without his monetary policies in the late 90s, the Enron bubble and the dot-com bubble that coincided with it would surely have been impossible. Just 2 weeks after the award ceremony, Enron filed for bankruptcy. The company owed billions. Yet the fraudulent practices that propelled Enron's rise and fall didn't die with Ken Lay. On the contrary, the habit of hiding debt off balance sheet that Enron pioneered subsequently spread throughout the Western financial system. The unraveling of this dodgy accounting has been a key component of the current crisis.
From the creative financial team that brought you everything else you've seen on television comes something you've hardly ever seen before.
10 minutes isn't good enough.
No.
She's Mary White. I didn't say that. A public television executive with a history of violence and questionable moral ethics.
I need that cartoon now!
Fucking PBS.
And he's Chang Wang Mayflower III. He's a venture capitalist who works for a shadow agency of the Federal Reserve.
Duck, 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 duck. Goose, you're fired!
Love may be blind, but vision is included in their health plan.
So, what'd you do today?
I destroyed 9 banks in 3 distinct districts in 4 separate states.
That is so sexy.
I know. What did you do today?
Well, I denied funding to 2 separate Save the Ocean documentaries.
Ooh.
$12,000 for a research grant. I mean, give me a break. Who are they kidding? The way those liberals fudge their research, what's to document?
I love you.
Can these 2 upwardly mobile young professionals survive in a world they're personally tearing apart? They're banking on it. Tuesdays at 8.
So the spotlight has once again shone on the grey area of homeowners' rights to protect their properties.
This isn't right. The 3 little pigs are the victims.
We walked through down 2 houses. We got what you deserve.
But the pigs went too far.
You have every right to defend your property.
Boiling someone alive hardly constitutes reason.
Somebody is going to break the law and intrude on
you. You can't protect yourself in your own home.
A man's home is his castle. You've got a family.
If someone tried to blow my house down, I'd do the same.
I knew the wolf. There's no way he could have blown down those houses. He had asthma.
But the wolf had asthma. So what's the truth about the pigs' houses being blown down? Inside job.
There's no reason why those 2 houses, one made from straw, the other from wood, should have collapsed. Not even a healthy wolf's huff and puff could bring them down.
The 3 little pigs have confessed to conspiring to commit insurance fraud, framing the wolf in an attempt to cover their tracks. Their motive was financial, as they struggled to keep up with their mortgage repayments.
Guilt. I can empathize with
I'm behind on my payments too. I just...
How could this have happened?
I've lost everything.
Thank you.
lesson. Now the country's in recession. We show no signs of depression. We are provenors. The economy's gone tits up. House prices are down, but fuel's up. You might think we're out of luck, but we still got our jobs. We're employed as bankers, with bonuses they thank us. Pension deals and flashy wheels, no wonder everybody calls us wankers. You may not rate us so highly, but we all remain quite smiley. We still live the life of Riley. We don't give a shit.
I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm gonna tell you folks the way things will go. I don't need a mask. I don't need a gun. I just walk in the bank and say I'm number one. I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm gonna tell you folks how I make my dough. You can give me your money. I can lose your cash. It doesn't hurt me. I got my compensation package stash. I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm gonna tell you folks the way things will go over your limit with that piece of cheese. I got you covered with a $33 overdraft fee, so you're out of luck. I made an extra buck. I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm a big bank company CEO. I'm gonna tell you folks the way things will go. You don't want me to fall. You don't want me to fail. I just go to the taxpayers and ask for a bail out. I'm a big bank company CEO. Banks rule, baby.
It all started back in the 60s, when resettlement came around. They uprooted our families and split up our friends and moved us from our fishing grounds. Now the government had all the answers. No way they could make a mistake. But look at the blunders they made over the years. Destruction is left in its wake. Labrador is another example. By being too quick with the pen, they signed on the line and gave Churchill away. Once more we got shafted again. Now the offshore agreement is now settled. They say that we'll own it for sure, but I hope that they don't have to give it away like a Churchill in old Labrador.
Details of this show and other shows of the Kaput X Radio series can be found at radioforall.net. Also available on the program page is a contact box for your convenience.
Our seal fishery is just about over. No markets for pels can be found. Now the sealers no more will hunt seals in the spring. More good news, Finlanders are let down. Now our fishery is in a shambles. But hope for the better and wish. But the answer is plain as the nose on your face. Too many boats, not enough fish. So I hope that things will all get better. There's no need to worry or fear. Ottawa will give us a hand, that's for sure. Another few hundred million this year. Now elections is our only answer. To get the best that we can. Politicians will promise us all that we need, and Newfoundland will be prosperous again.
Kaput Rights Radio. Broken news for broken listeners. Broken news for broken listeners. 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 For broken listeners.